fit me. I get it. What is up? Happy Friday. This is Blake Murphy, your host, coming at you for the On Deck Circle podcast. This is volume 2. For the first time ever, we have a guest today. It is the only ladies' man writing for the ODC, basketball writer David Andrew Power. Dave, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, brother. How are you doing?
Doing good. Friday. Weekend. Reading week's almost over, but other than that, we're doing good.
I love the weekends.
Yeah. Big things popping yesterday in the NBA trade deadline. We got a lot to talk about. First things first, let's start small with a little deal that went down Wednesday night instead of Thursday, technically, at the deadline. San Antonio picks up big man Kurt Thomas from Seattle for Brent Berry, Francisco Elson, and a first-round pick in 2009. Initial thoughts?
My initial thoughts are San Antonio adds a bruiser. Got someone who who's got a pretty good, pretty decent mid-range jump shot, rebounds the ball, someone to give Tim Duncan some time off. For Seattle, it's a toss-up. You're really just throwing in contracts, firing down. And that first-round pick, I know it's going to be late, but you sometimes get sleepers late in the first round, someone like Josh Howard.
Yeah, I agree. It's really a no-lose for both teams. My take is that San Antonio, it's more of a defensive move. I think they made the trade to keep other powers in the West from getting Kurt Thomas. Kurt Thomas has shown in the past he does a great job defending Tim Duncan. And if, say, a team like New Orleans or Dallas could add him for the stretch run, that might have meant trouble for San Antonio in the playoffs. Interesting fact about that trade, Seattle now has 8 first-round picks in the next 3 years.
That is a lot of first-round picks.
Like, they're going to look like Portland a couple years. That's the best way I know to build around a guy like Kevin Durant. 3 of those picks coming from Kurt Thomas somehow. Apparently, he's worth 3 first-round draft picks. They get the 2009 one from San Antonio this year, and back in the day when they traded Kurt Thomas to Phoenix, they picked up a 2008 and a 2010 first-round pick. So there you have it. Kurt Thomas bringing big things in Seattle.
Kurt Thomas making money.
Yeah, well worth the $8 million a year if you're getting those kind of draft picks. All right, so first thing this morning, there was a Thursday morning, sorry. There was a three-team deal that went popping. New Orleans Hornets pick up Bonzi Wells, Mike James.
Who?
Mike James. And a little bit of cash from Houston. Houston gets Adam Holuska, rookie shooter, Bobby Jackson, a second-round pick from New Orleans, and the draft rights to Sergei Lishwick from Memphis. I'm not sure who that is. Memphis made the salaries work a little bit by taking on Marcus Vinicius. They also pick up a little cash and the draft rights to some other name that I can't pronounce. So your thoughts initially, ignoring your boys in Memphis, because they're really irrelevant in this one.
Well, the big thing in this, that Memphis got Vinicius or whatever his name is. That
Vinicius.
Guy, whatever
Marcus
he is,
Vinicius.
Yeah, he's going to bring it. But I know, obviously, here we got Bobby Jackson going to Houston. He's going to be good for them off the bench. Hopefully help them out in the playoffs if they can get into there. I mean, that West is pretty tough right now.
I like Jackson on that team a lot. Their problem the last couple years has been sketchy play at the point. Ray Ferguson's turnover prone. Mike James is a me-first point guard. Luther Head can't pass the ball. So Bobby Jackson brings veteran poise they haven't had at the point in a while. Low turnover rate, only 0.6 a game this year. So he's a safe choice for them to distribute the ball to T-Mac and Yao.
My thing about New Orleans here, though, Mike James, I'm not sure. I mean, they got Pargo and they got Chris Paul, 2 point guards. Pargo's a shoot-first type of player, and that's the same type of thing Mike James brings to the table. As I know, watching him for the Raptors for a couple years ago, I put up 30 shots a game.
He replicates a lot of what Gennaro Pargo does. Any value he's got to New Orleans is going to come being a combo guard deep off the bench. And I think this was really a case they had to take on the extra year of Mike James's contract in order to score Bonzi Wells. He's the key to the deal, Bonzi.
Yeah, I would think Bonzi's going to be good for them as well. Obviously, New Orleans, the guy can score, shoots up, he gets to the rim. He also gets to the free throw line, pretty sure, a fair amount, if I cannot say that. But Mike James as well. I'm trying to think of a late Detroit Pistons team, like a Lindsey Hunter type of guy coming off 9-10 off the bench, bring some hard defense, some three-point shooting ability. That's what I'm thinking.
A lot of experience like he's got to bring from Detroit, I'm pretty sure. But yeah, Bonzi on New Orleans. Right now, the only guy they've got backing up David West and Tyson Chandler is Hilton Armstrong. So any upgrade there is big. Bonzi Wells is going to do big things for them off the bench, I think. And if you remember, 2 years ago, first round with Sacramento, 22 points, 11 rebounds a game over a 6-game series. So Bonzi's got the playoff experience. He's been in 8 series, played 36 playoff games. So that's going to be key on a young and unproven team come playoff time.
Yeah, Bonzi will bring it. He'll get his legs into him. You know, it's a new team. He'll be ready to go. Bonzi's a great player.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and after that, we'll come back and look at the biggest trade from the deadline, Ben Wallace on his way to Cleveland. Hey, rich boy, sell it quick, folk niggas want to check, shit tight, no slick, just bought a Cadillac. Throw some D's on that bitch. Just bought a Cadillac. Throw some D's on that bitch. Just bought a Cadillac. We are back. So the biggest one then, we'll talk about the hugest trade from the deadline day. This one came in right at 3 o'clock. The team's actually even got an extension from the NBA office to work it out past the 3 p.m. deadline. Try and stay with me here. Cleveland picks up Ben Wallace, Delonte West, Wally Szczerbiak, and Joe Smith. The Chicago Bulls pick up Drew Gooden, Larry Hughes, Cedric Simmons, and Shannon Brown. And the Seattle Supersonics pick up Ira Neubel, Adrian Griffin, and Donyell Marshall. A little confusing to take in all at once, so let's look at it team by team. Started off with Seattle. Your thoughts on the deal for Seattle?
In this trade, Seattle, they save a fair amount of money with this. I mean, Ira Neubel comes off the books after this year, and then Donyell and
Adrian Griffin,
they're both off after next year. I mean, Donyell's going to be okay. He'll probably play some minutes for them. He might even start on a team like that with. I mean, they got Wilcox and Durant, and that's really all I think they got right now. Ridenhour is decent, but
Jeff Green.
He'll be a good NBA player, but they just really have to build that team around Durant, and these three aren't things that I think are going to be around for a while.
The key to the deal for them, even though they lose Delonte, he wasn't their point guard of the future, I don't think. They get rid of Wally Szczerbiak's huge deal. It's going to save them between $8 and $10 million in 2008-2009. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like they're going to use that towards a stadium. They're going to be leaving and spending that cash somewhere else. But yeah, losing Wally's the key for Seattle. Like we mentioned earlier, they've got a lot of picks in the first round coming up, and they should have some cap room this offseason and in the summer of 2009. So it's a fair trade for them. Original reports of this deal had Chris Duhon coming to them in the place of Adrian Griffin, and you can't deny that that's a much better deal for Seattle to get a good young point guard like that. But I guess the Bulls put their foot down at the last second saying Duhon wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah, if I was the Bulls, I wouldn't want to give up Duhon as well. He's a good point guard. Yeah. But I would expect Seattle will be a good draft pick this year. Look for Derrick Rose to be up in a Seattle uniform. Hoping. I like Seattle.
Is that what your article said? I don't know.
Seattle, I would love to see Derrick Rose in a uniform with him and Durant. Would be a mean combination.
That'd be a dirty duo along with the billion other first-round picks they have coming up. So for Chicago, they bring in Drew Gooden, Larry Hughes, a couple of bench players, and they lose Ben Wallace and Joe Smith.
Okay, well, Chicago bringing in Drew Gooden, obviously. I'm a big Drew Gooden fan. He rebounds the ball hard. He's got a pretty decent offensive game when he gets a touch it. But, as well, like, Chicago getting rid of Ben Wallace's contract is big for them because they were worried about that. But, in the other hand, right to Cleveland, he's great. He's been a great player in the playoffs, and he's a super good defensive player. I think this is going to bring his legs back. He'll be on a team that's winning again, and he'll be ready to go. Ben Wallace is big for this.
Yeah, Chicago, they get rid of Ben, which they wanted to do. I thought they would be able to get a little more in return. I like Drew Gooden a lot for the same reasons you said. He gives the Bulls the low post scoring they've been lacking for a long time, and he's got that great little patch of hair that he stole off Rashid's head that fits right below his headband. Unfortunately for the Bulls, they're not actually saving that much money in this deal. Gooden's got only one more year left after this year, but so did Joe Smith, and Gooden's $2 million more expensive. Wallace comes off the books 2 years or 3 summers from now, summer 2010, so that's good to get him off the books. But Larry Hughes comes back with almost an identical contract, and they save only $2.5 million on the Wallace for Hughes switch. I think Hughes could get some run for them off the bench behind Ben Gordon, maybe dial it up from long range for him, but he couldn't do it in Cleveland, and he had LeBron giving him the ball, so I don't know if Heinrich can get the most out of Larry Hughes if LeBron couldn't.
Larry's lost something. LeBron needs shooters around him, and Larry Hughes is not a shooter. He's a slasher type, Jalen Rose type of scorer. You know, he wasn't not a good fit. I don't like Larry Hughes in Cleveland. Maybe not even in Chicago as much either.
So we agree for the Bulls then. It's more about getting Ben Wallace out of there than what they got in return.
Yeah, get rid of Ben Wallace.
A lot more playing time going around for Yono, terrible Ty Thomas, and
terrible
reppin' Pitt, Aaron Gray. That's a little shout out for Stu on that one.
Hey, Aaron Gray is a good player. He's a good center.
He's a good player. So for Cleveland, which is what, this is the meat and potatoes of this podcast, that is what everyone really cares about, they pick up Ben Wallace, Wally Szczerbiak, Delonte West, and Joe Smith, sending out four players who weren't playing for them anyways, Drew Gooden and Larry Hughes.
Well, my initial thought is Cleveland, wow, you know, I know LeBron's been all up in everyone's face. I can't get anyone here in Cleveland. This place is junk. I want to leave. You know, that's what the thoughts have been around. But then they come in and make this big trade like this. Delonte West is a good point guard. He'll be decent in the system. He's a pretty good three-point shooter, and that's the type of thing that LeBron needs right now as well. Wally Szczerbiak, great three-point shooter. And bringing in Ben Wallace, a low post threat, he'll be great for them as well, I would think. I just think this makes Cleveland, like, the clear-cut third-best team in the East right now. The Orlando's good, Toronto's good, but Cleveland, you know, they already were in the finals last year. That LeBron's a man, right? He can do whatever he wants, and now he's got some good players around him. I think they got a good shot here.
I agree with you halfway on this one. I think Delonte West is a great fit. He's proven in Seattle in limited time that he doesn't need the ball on offense to be effective. He's a scrappy defender. He's a team-oriented guy, and he fits in well with the Anderson Varejao, Sasha Pavlovich group. And the biggest thing for them, that's going to let Daniel Gibson come off the bench and just dial up those long-range boobies.
Just like in the All-Star weekend.
Yeah, that second unit's not good, and now Daniel Gibson can come off the bench and just score without having to worry about getting LeBron the ball. Wally, obviously you're surrounding LeBron with good shooters. He comes with a price tag, but, I mean, they weren't going to have cap room until 2009 anyways. Contract, I don't think it was a big worry for them. Danny Ferry felt the pressure to make a move. So that's where I agree with you up to that point. Ben Wallace is not going to make a huge difference on this team. They weren't a great low-post defending team, but this gives them two guys nearly 7 foot, both fairly immobile, with complementary but conflicting skill sets, kind of, and neither one of them can play the power forward. Ilgauskas and Ben Wallace both stuck at center. I don't see them on the court together at the same time. It's either going to clog the lane and make LeBron unable to drive effectively because neither of those guys can play too far from the basket, or you're going to have them fumbling over each other in the paint. And both those guys command more than 24 minutes a game. They've actually turned what was a decent front court into a big front court logjam now because they've got Joe Smith who can score. They've got Anderson Varejao, who's turned it on a lot this year, even though he's out right now. But I wouldn't even put him on the floor at the same time with Ben Wallace, just because they replicate so much of what each other do. But Ilgauskas, Wallace, Varejao, Joe Smith, it's too much down there, and the guys kind of conflict in their roles because you can't play Wallace with Ilgauskas or Varejao, I don't think.
Just wait for Ben Wallace and the Il Na Na to start gonging it up like him and she did back in the day. They're going to be swatting shots. I can't understand how he'd say Ben Wallace can't move. He's immobile. That guy can move for sure still. He can still swat some shots. He's going to get into it. He's going to help them out a ton.
Yeah, it's tough to lose a front court scoring option like Drew Gooden. And my biggest thing is the roster flexibility. I don't think you can play Ilgauskas and Wallace at the same time. And I don't think it makes sense to play Varejao with Wallace just because of how much offensive capability you lose. You then turn the team into a three-man game on the offensive end. That said, I do not want to face them in the first round of the playoffs. Right now, Raf's seeded fourth, Cavs seeded fifth. We're 2.5 games out of Orlando for third and way up on sixth. So it's looking like LeBron and co. are coming to Toronto first round.
We need to finish third or fourth. It has to happen. We got to get ahead of Orlando. I mean, we showed two nights ago that we beat them down. But we got to. Half
Chris Bosh with a 40-piece.
Oh, he just tore it up. We got to get ahead of Cleveland, though. I do not want to play Cleveland. Not at all.
No, I'd much rather play Orlando at this point. I think it's easier to isolate Dwight Howard. Chris Bosh has had a lot of big games against him in the last 2 years. I don't want to see Cleveland.
No, definitely not. We got a big advantage against point guards. Jose's the man.
All right. Well, that's it for the huge deals on deadline day. We're going to take a quick break and come at you with some of the smaller deals and introduce a weekly segment I like to call Full Count. I'm back. What you gon' do now? Yeah. I'm a fireman, fire for fireman. Yeah. I got that fire, I'm hollering. Oh. I got that fire coming through. Oh. And you can spark it up and I'ma put you out. You can spark it up and I'ma put you out. Alright, we are back. And even though it's a little early on a Friday morning, Dave, it's time for some junk food cupcakes. Gerald Green on his way to his hometown Houston Rockets. In return, Kirk Snyder on a second round draft pick going to Minnesota.
Gerald Green's a great player. Well, not great yet. I think the ability is there for sure. Coming behind T-Mac now and learning from T-Mac, it's going to help him out tons. Hopefully that develops his game, and within the next couple of years he can become the type of player people hoped he would be. And Kirk Snyder, well, yeah, that's about all I have to say about that.
I agree with you on Green. He's a hometown boy, so that should give him some motivation. They don't have anyone athletic really to back up Battier, so he's a nice mix there. And if he can't learn behind his carbon copy in T-Mac, who has the same skill set, and same body type, then he's never going to learn. So it's a good fit for him. For Minnesota, Kirk Snyder's contract's expiring. He's a restricted free agent. But don't forget, this guy was a lottery pick and is still only 24 years old. At $2.5 million next year, maybe Minnesota picks up the option. That's a cheap 9th or 10th man. In another deal, the Trailblazers make a move similar to the Juan Dixon for Fred Jones trade last year. They're sending Taurean Green to Denver for Vaughn Wafer.
Vaughn Wafer from Florida State, that jump-shooting mother. That's about all I really know about him. But Taurean Green from Florida, I really do not like Taurean Green. I didn't like any of the people really out of Florida and Horford. I've got something against him. Maybe he'll be all right, but I don't see him ever really producing as an NBA player.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those common sense trades. Portland's got a whole lot of point guards going on. Denver's got a lot of shooting guard depth and needs a point guard. So they pick up Green, who will become their third string point guard and is some injury insurance on an injury plagued team. Vaughn Wafer probably won't crack the rotation in Portland, but their contracts were the same and he gives them a shooting option if they were to come into some injuries. And now, the big one as far as little inconsequential trades go, the Raptors have dealt Juan Dixon to the Detroit Pistons for 7-foot Slovenian center Primož Brazić.
Juan Dixon is a true professional in the name. He didn't really complain at all while he was here. He wasn't getting the minutes. He really doesn't have the talent to play on the team for Toronto anymore. So I don't know if he's going to get a lot of minutes in Detroit, but I think it's just maybe giving the Raptors some bulk up front. Brezic, another Slovenian, him and Rasher can go out and have a smoke together, possibly make some jump shots. I'm not too sure, but the guy can't board either. So I'm hoping well for Brezic in Toronto. I know bring another European into the team, but I'm not thinking he's going to do too much for the Raptors.
This is a very Colangelo deal. Juan Dixon did a lot for us. Last year he came in and put up almost 11 points off the game for us when we traded Fred Jones for him. This year he was willing to make the move to point guard when TJ Ford went down. It wasn't successful, but he didn't complain. He's been sitting on the bench in a jolly fashion, not being a hindrance to the locker room or anything like that. So when he quietly went to Colangelo, I think Colangelo felt obliged to make a deal. It looked like there wasn't going to be a deal, but Detroit took him on. Like you said, Dixon's probably not going to get any more minutes on the Pistons, but being on a championship contender can't hurt your value as an unrestricted free agent in the offseason. The Raptors get Brazić, who is a homeless man's Andrea Bargnani. He can shoot maybe as far as 14, 15 feet, doesn't board well, has no toughness down low, but like you said, he's another European. Him and Rash will be buddy-buddy. And Colangelo's got to love adding another option in the Raptors' growing whitewash lineup. All right, so, Dave, you've got 3 balls and 2 strikes coming at you. This is the debut of a segment I'm going to call Full Count, 5 quick questions for you. All right, first one, football question. 4th and 1, 4th quarter, you've got a 3-point lead. Do you punt it or do you go for it?
I'm going for it, no matter what, going for it, especially if we've got Tom Brady at the helm.
All right, baseball question. Best count to steal second base on?
I'm going to be saying 2-2. That's what I'm going on, probably. If I just feel that he's probably throwing away a breaking pitch at this point, you probably got a good chance of getting the second.
All right, hockey question, a little out of your element here. Crosby or Ovechkin?
Ovechkin, I love the guy, the Russian. He's so awesome. Just gets in there, ties it down, scores. He's the niftiest goals. I love it.
All right, basketball question. Here's your domain. You're building a team from scratch around a young player. You building around a big man, a guard, or a wing player?
I'm probably building around a big man because they're very hard to come by. The thing, if you build around a point guard, you know, he can't do everything. He can't score, hopefully. I mean, as long as the guy's in the paint, he should be okay. Hopefully blocking shots, you know, being the big piece of the team. I would build around a big man.
All right, and the 5th and final question here, full count. Something a little personal to you. Try and keep it short because I know you got lots to say. Where did Rudy Gay go wrong in the dunk contest?
Oh, where didn't he go wrong? That first dunk was just brutal. I think he was thinking of something and just didn't put it down, then got flustered and just went off the chain, did nothing good. The second dunk was pretty neat, but whatever, Rudy's a man, I don't even give a damn.
Too little too late on the second dunk. All right, unfortunately, that's all the time we've got. I'd like to thank my guest.
This is Dave Power.
For coming on the show. I've been your host, Blake Murphy. Remember that you can catch me, Dave, and the rest of the ODC crew at theondeckcircle.net, and we'll be coming at you next Friday, and every Friday after that, with a weekly podcast. This has been Real Talk to all y'all.
Real talk. Real talk. Real talk. Real talk. Real talk. Real talk. It's really, 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 really 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 real talk. Nigga.